have the Boston Celtics played their last game here at the TD Garden. They lost game six, a game that I said they needed to win. Can they win a game seven? I'll talk about it right now on a bonus Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked on number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Rainy J's how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked on Celtics, pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday, and today, a bonus podcast. Even after a 111-103 Game 6 loss to the Miami Heat, I am here for you every playoff game, because even in a loss, we need to talk our way through it. We need to get through it, because there's a Game 7 to be played on Sunday night. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters on the Celtics 75th anniversary team. I am here at the TD Garden. My voice still a little rough, but trying to get through it, just like the Celtics trying to get through it. I'm looking up at the scoreboard, and I still can't believe it that the Celtics lost this game 111-103. I was very extraordinarily confident in this Celtics win today. Really, as confident as I've been, so confident that I didn't even plan on going to Miami. I had to book at the last second to get back down there for a game seven, because the Celtics season is on the line here. That this could be it. That thing that we witnessed on Friday night could be the last game here at the Garden until next season. Hopefully not. Hopefully there's a game three of the NBA Finals here in a week, 2 weeks or so, but they'll have to get through the Miami Heat on Sunday in Miami. And the reason why is the Celtics had 18 turnovers that led to 22 Miami Heat points. Now, the Heat obliged with a similar turnover count. They had 19 turnovers, 23 points. So the Celtics actually won the turnover battle, but that makes this even more infuriating for Celtics fans, because they did what they're supposed to do as far as their defense, turn them over, and get the Celtics got 23 points off of those turnovers. Protect the ball, you win the game. This is the same old story, right? Same old story. Protect the ball, you win the game. 18 turnovers. The two stars, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, again, accounted for a majority of them. 7 for Tatum, 4 for Jaylen Brown, and it's just not going to get the job done. The Celtics, when they turn the ball over like this, they are just not good enough to win the game. Not against this Heat team. The Celtics went on a 22-11 run to start the fourth quarter, and then Miami went 18-7 the rest of the way, and really a couple of killer shots. Max Strus, from like almost half court, just a real wild shot with a second left on the shot clock, turns and fires and hits, just drills the shot, which is wild. And then Jimmy Butler, with about 40 seconds left, 2 seconds left on the shot clock, gets the pass, turns and fires and drills the almost three-pointer. His foot was over the line, but still a long shot that he turned and drilled. Jimmy Butler just hit jump shot after jump shot after jump shot in this game and crushed the Celtics. Tatum and Brown combined for 50 points, which should normally be enough. 30 points for Tatum. Jaylen Brown had 20. But Jimmy Butler in a superstar game, I honestly didn't think he had this in him. Didn't think he had 47 points on 16 of 29 shooting. 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals, 47 points. He almost matched Tatum and Brown together. We're sitting here talking about him matching Jason Tatum. He almost matched the both of them. So that's something that you just can't have happen. But okay, fine. The Celtics, you know, you get into this situation. It's the fourth quarter. Butler goes off, and he's cooking. And you've turned the ball over so much that he's gotten plays where he's getting comfortable. He's getting into the rhythm of the game. It's what I talked about in yesterday's podcast, what we've been talking about since the last game. Get comfortable, get in the rhythm, feel good about yourself, get that early lead that can carry you a little bit. The Celtics didn't respond when Miami made their run. It was tied with about 2 minutes or so to go. And Jaylen Brown at the free throw line, two free throws to take the lead, and he misses both. The only two free throws he's missed all game. Tatum was 8 of 8. Jaylen was 7 of 9. If Jaylen was 9 of 9, who knows what happens the rest of the way? That's that you know, that concept of, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world and it causes a hurricane in the other part of the world because the flap of the wing causes the wind to blow and blah, 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 and it just cascades. Jaylen making those two free throws and going up. First of all, it doesn't lead to Jimmy Butler getting the ball up the floor and going in for the and one. It results in the Celtics getting back on a set, you know, setting their defense and Jimmy Butler having to come up against the set defense. Does he score? Does he get an and one at that point? Maybe. Because he's having a Jimmy Butler game, and maybe he still scores. Maybe he still gets the end one. Who knows? But point is, when the Celtics are up two and Butler's going against a set defense, it's a little bit different than tie game, the momentum of, oh, wow, Jaylen Brown just missed two free throws. Let's go. Let's push. And credit to Miami. They ran a great play there. To get Butler to the rim. So it was just the Celtics made their token runs, but every time they seemed to make a run, Miami hit a killer three. Kyle Lowry was big in this game, 4 of 9. He hit some killer three-pointers. Strus, like I said, hit some three-pointers. He was 3 of 8. Butler was 4 of 8. Four three-pointers for Butler. And this is a question for Game 7 and why I'm always afraid of these Game 7s at home in Miami. Can he duplicate this? Butler played 46 minutes. 46 minutes on that knee. Now, it's entirely possible that this was Miami's shot. This was, you know, they fought. They brought it back home. And that Butler going from here to Miami after 46 minutes on that knee, going up and down on the plane, getting back out there, he might not have it. Who knows? But he might, because Jimmy Butler is one of those rare people who can just get his brain to tell his body to do something the body doesn't want to do. This is what I've been saying all along when it comes to the greats, the all-time best. Like, What made Jordan, Jordan? What made Larry Bird, Larry Bird? What made Magic, Magic? What makes Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant? Like, some of them have physical gifts, sure. But, like, Michael Jordan was 6'6", 200 pounds. Yeah, he had a 42-inch or 45-inch vertical or whatever it was, but okay. But there are a lot of dudes. Jaylen Brown is built like Michael Jordan, same size, same weight, basically. Close to the same vertical, but Michael had this thing. The best of the best have this thing upstairs that says, I'm not losing. I am not losing. No matter what, they have a thing upstairs. And I got to say that Jimmy Butler has that thing. He has that thing upstairs that says, I'm not losing. I'm not going out like this. Now, he's not quite as good or as talented as those guys, but he has that thing, though. You know, he's still really good. He's still a star player, superstar player. But he has that thing that says, you know what, back against the wall, I'm going to make sure I get every last ounce out of my body. And that's the I still think and have thought and will always think that the Celtics, this Celtics team, is more talented than this Miami Heat team. This Celtics team should have won this series by now. They should have won this series by now. No doubt in my mind. But this Miami team, led by Jimmy Butler and Spoelstra, and hate to say it, Heat culture, all of that stuff is real. But Butler, that mentality, that adds stuff. And this is where the Celtics, like, I'm not going to go overboard here. I'm not going to go overboard and overreact to this loss, because the Celtics did just beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a game 7. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and question whether the Celtics, you know, are, you know, what are they made of? And there's going to be some real wild negative takes out there. The Celtics did just beat the defending champions. Down 3-2, they did what Miami did. Down 3-2, they went to Milwaukee. They won a game 6. They came here. They won a game 7. So the Celtics have it in them to go out there and win a crucial game. I'm not going to say they're not capable of it. What I am going to say is they don't have the exact same thing that Jimmy Butler has. They don't have that yet. And I don't know if you can develop that or what, but that thing that will take your body to the next that next level, that's something that's super special and hard to develop, you either have it or you don't, I think, a lot of times. One of the things here that struck me was Ime after the game saying, same turnovers, same things. We keep acting like we're surprised when they're reaching, they're grabbing, and all of that stuff. I do feel like he's talking to Jaylen Brown a little bit there, because it's kind of the same thing that he said to Jaylen Brown before. The fact that guys are surprised at the reaching and the hacking and the no calls, like, get you got to get past that, man. You got to get over it. But when he said it's the same stuff and we shouldn't be surprised by it anymore, and yet the Celtics still seem to be surprised by it, well, That kind of explains a lot of why they're still performing the way they're performing. The fact that they're still putting up these types of performances with the turnovers, with the second chance points, you know, offensive rebounds, it just tells you that they either are expecting something different to happen, whether it's the officials or something else, or they don't respect the opponent enough to say, well, they're this good at, you know, defending. I got to try something different. I can't go at Victor Oladipo. I can't go at Jimmy Butler the way I think I can. And whether it's ego or insanity or whatever, they got to stop doing that. Take your mid-range shots. Get off the ball quickly. Stop turning the ball over. Stop getting into a crowd. All of that stuff. Like, And maybe I'm the one that's insane, because I'm expecting them to change, like, understand that there are shots to be taken. The craziest stat here is in the fourth quarter, Jason Tatum took one shot. Jaylen Brown took one shot. In the second half, Tatum and Brown combined for 7 shots. How is that possible? Like, I know Miami is geared towards taking the Celtics 2 stars away. And that's why Derek White, by the way, an amazing performance from Derek White. The only guy on the team that I think had a wire-to-wire good game was Derek White, who finished the game with 22 points, 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. A block, no turnovers for Derek White. Wasted that game. But the Celtics still need to find a way. Tatum needs to find a way. Jaylen needs to find a way. Ime Udoka needs to find a way. to get those guys going in the fourth quarter. And it really can't just keep being, well, let's get Tatum on the ball and set picks and try to call up the mismatch. Let's call up whoever Strus is guarding and set up, run a pick and roll and get that switch, because Miami helps a ton. And, you know, maybe in the fourth quarter, you just want to see your star take over a little bit. And I don't know, there's making the right play, and then there's playing into what Miami's trying to do. And I think there's a fine line between that. Tatum drawing a crowd is great, but what do you do after that? Who gets the ball? Can you get Jaylen Brown the ball? Can he get going? And if Jaylen's the guy getting the crowd, then Tatum should be getting. There's no way you can say, well, they're showing Tatum and Jaylen Brown the crowd. Well, it's two guys. You need multiple players to show the crowd. So if that's the case, then everyone else should be completely wide open in scoring buckets, and they're not. Derek White scored a few, but I think this is just a case of going into this fourth quarter here. Tatum needs to be more aggressive, looking for opportunities to get his shot. And sometimes that means getting him off the ball and getting him the ball on the move and just making a decisive play no matter who's guarding him. Because you're Jason freaking Tatum, man, and you got Jimmy Butler on one leg. Yeah, you got Victor Oladipo in front of you, but if you're catching the ball on the move, you can get past him. You can get past anybody that's defending you. Get him, set some pin downs, run something else to get him the ball on the move, and then make a quick decision once you get the ball. Same thing for Jaylen. Get those guys working together. It's inexcusable for them to get two combined shots in the fourth quarter. Absolutely inexcusable. While Jimmy Butler is scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler scored 17 in the fourth quarter. The entire Boston starting five in the fourth quarter scored 15. It's unacceptable. Like, you can't have that in a game six closeout at home. You got to find Tatum some shots. You got to find Jaylen Brown some shots. And if Tatum can't do it, if Jaylen can't do it, if you're seeing them show a crowd, if you're seeing them wall them off, if you're seeing them go to a zone, then it's up to the coaching staff or it's up to somebody on the floor to find a way to get those guys some shots, because those are the guys that are going to win you the game. And if Derek White has it going like he's going, that's great. But you still have to expect that at some point Derek White, that magic's going to run out. That's my biggest criticism of this team in this game. That how can you possibly have Jaylen and Jason two shots in the fourth quarter? Marcus Smart did not have a good game in this, 4-15, 1-9 from three. So those shots were a little too – he was firing them. A lot of those came early. He only had three shots in the fourth quarter. So a lot of the shots came early. I did get into it on Twitter with a few people. I don't think Marcus Smart is like reason number one why the Celtics lost this game, but people seem to want to just like dive onto that and say, like, there's this whole big blame him for being the point guard. Well, he wasn't the point guard in that fourth quarter. Like, and this is part of the whole thing. If Smart's going to be your point guard, then I wouldn't mind seeing him actually being like used as the point guard in some of these plays and get Jaylen and Jason off the ball and have Smart run some plays. And then at that point, it's up to Smart to be better about getting guys the ball, and you can run some play. And if the plays don't work and they blow up, this is where you do run into some problems. It's hard to get if it's hard to get Tatum and Brown going off the ball, and Marcus is just waiting for somebody to get open, and they're not getting open. And I have to rewatch to see why some of these guys weren't getting open. But if they're not getting open, then Smart's going to be like, well, I got to do it myself. And that's the risk you run. And he will try to do things himself. He missed some bunnies A lot of guys missed some bunnies. That was a tough shooting night. But yeah, Smart definitely did not have a great game. Robert Williams, I don't know where he was late. I don't know if he got hurt or if it was just the lineup that Miami went with. But we're going to find that out. Horford did not have a good game. I'm willing to give him a pass because I just found out that his grandfather died earlier in the morning. So that's, you know, obviously you want more from Horford, but if he has a personal tragedy that is kind of distracting him, then, you know, I'm not going to come down too hard on him. Grant Williams, a nothing from Grant Williams. And that's about it. So heading back to Miami, look, I repeat myself on this because it's the same old mantra. Protect the ball. It's very simple. Protect the ball. Go down to Miami. Don't turn the ball over. Play your defense. Run some good offense. And just run your stuff. Take the shots that are there, Jason Tatum. Take the shots that are there, Jaylen Brown. You're good enough to take some of those shots. It's the playoffs. Rules change a little bit. Take those open mid-range shots. Take them. Make them. You're good enough to do it. All right? Build up that lead. Just bury them early. I mean, I can't believe that we have to get on planes. You know, you get into that media room at the end and the interview room, and we're all waiting for people to come up and do their interviews, and then we're all looking at each other going like, where'd you book? Where's your hotel? What flights did you get? Like, all of that. Like, because that's – everybody's scrambling all of a sudden because no one expected to have to go back to Miami. But we have to, and we'll see. This would be a very disappointing end if the Celtics – season is in fact over after this weekend. It'd be a little bit disappointing because up 3-2 and really everyone was just, you know, aside from Miami Heat super faithful who are just banking on faith, everyone was sitting there saying this series feels over. And it legitimately felt over. Like, the Celtics looked like the team that was ready to bury Miami, and Miami looked like they were ready to go, but Jimmy Butler willed them, and the Celtics let that will kind of carry on and persevere throughout the whole course of the game. And now here we are, game 7 in Miami. Very winnable, but my head tells me Celtics can easily win that game. They could win that game. They should win that game easily. They should. But in my heart, I know how weird basketball is. I know how weird game 7s are. And I know what Butler is capable of. Even on one leg, he's certainly capable of willing himself to another great performance. Look, he hit all those jumpers, man. Those jumpers were line drives. A lot of those three-pointers were line drives that barely went over the front of the rim, but they went in. They were a half inch from careening off the front of the rim, but they went in, and I'm afraid of them going in a lot in game 7. Celtics need to be better. They need to be more on point. And they've cost themselves the biggest thing for me is they've cost themselves these 2 days of rest, where now all of these nagging injuries have to get up on that plane. You got to tomorrow, on Saturday, you got to fly. On Sunday, you got to play. And then on Monday or Sunday night, whichever they do, you come home and you've lost those 2 days plus a travel day of rest and recuperation. Golden State Warriors are sitting right there. They're just waiting, resting, healing. So, well, whatever. We'll see how it goes. No podcast Saturday night into Sunday, but a podcast Sunday after the game from the FTX Arena, one way or the other. Celtics season is going to end or Miami season is going to end, and I will be there to talk about it. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, free and available everywhere. Subscribe on YouTube to watch the show there, and share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.